My name is Senya Wong Tupei. So this is my first time back at the Missions Conference married. So the last time I was here was November of 2010, and I had just met Scott that summer, and we got married last October out at Wellesley. Thank you. It's such a blessing. And we were able to get married at a campus that I worked at for about 10 years. They only let alumni get married there, but since I'd been there 2.5 times the amount of to get one degree, they had let me do that. Victor is the great director of religious and spiritual life. So I've been on staff with CRU, which is the new name for Campus Crusade for Christ, since 1995. I went to college here and was at PBC through college and grad school, and after college I worked as an engineer and still attended PBC, and then moved out to Boston in 95. And I was thinking, when Judy whispered to me you guys had prayed for me when we came in, when I first moved out to Boston, it was definitely a shock. Just driving was really stressful for a few years. There's no rhyme or reason to the parking and the lanes. But just the events of this last week and realizing how much solidarity I felt with everyone else in Boston has made me realize I'm a Bostonian now. And there's a piece of me always in California. It was great to fly back in last night, but just to feel that sense of being in a stream of people, workers, professionals, families, but also students. Probably millions of college students have gone through Boston in the last, decades. And all of them around the world grieved with us this last Monday at the marathon. And my husband and I did watch the marathon, but we were at mile 22 near our house, so it was far from the finish line, and we were home early. So shocked by what we saw on TV. And students had told me that they were close and heard the explosions and were definitely shaken up, and I was shaken up. And so I thank God. I'm praying that God will use this as an opportunity for the gospel, that in the glory of that day, which is all celebrating human performance and achievement, which is appropriate in its time, that in our brokenness, that we will see the gospel come into our stories. And what I do on campus is I primarily a ministry of evangelism and discipleship, trying to spiritually journey with students wherever they are on the spiritual spectrum and help them grow closer to Christ, closer to having him as their Savior and Lord, and also becoming the image of God that they were meant to be, and just a completeness in Christ, like Paul says in Colossians 1. So that's a little bit about me.
Introducing Christine Kroger.
What do you want to do that
short? You don't have to do that. Just tell us, Christine, who are you? You've been in our Bible study before, and where are you and your husband?
Yeah, my name is Christine Kroger. Can you hear me? Well, I know who she is.
This needs to go much closer.
Okay. I'm Christine Kroger. Paul and I have been with Weekly Bible Translators in 1981. This is our 32nd year. We have three kids, young adults. Right now, Paul is training at one of the professors teaching at the Weekly Training School in Dallas. So we have been there 12 years. We had never lived in a home for 12 years. This is the first time in our marriage life. And we got associated with PBC in the late 80s when Paul was in graduate school in the Bay Area. We have made a lot of move. PBC has been one of the churches that has saw us through a very difficult time of our ministry. And I am forever grateful to you guys. Many of you here know some of our history, the older members here. And when we came back in the field, we were pretty broken, overworked, burnout. The first thing that they did to us, they bought a fresh Christmas tree almost up to the roof. They cleaned the house that we were renting, and they told people to give out one ornament, one little tiny ornament from each family. Some of them wrote note. And then they took pictures of those people who cleaned the house. They cleaned the yard, they put everything away. And I still have a picture of the people cleaning toilet, and I saw her yesterday. That had really brought a lot of affirmation for Paul and I, because we needed a time of healing. And I remember our shepherding pastor, he told the church, they are not here to do missionary work, they are here to rest. No one questioned us, no one asked how we felt. They want us to rest and to just, that was very powerful in our life, that period of time. That was 12 years ago before we went down to Dallas. And I want to thank you for those who have been part of it. Some of you know much, but some of you don't, because many new faces that I haven't seen. So thank you for being such an important part of our life as a church. And I don't know what else to introduce, but I guess later on there'll be questions. It will come out to what I do, what we do. But this is a general thank you for all of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We learned a lot just from that.
You heard from me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm Priscilla Small. I've been in PBC since it started as Peninsula Bible Fellowship over in the community center in Palo Alto. And I'm sure PBC has had a lot to do with my Christian formation. I've been working with Wycliffe Bible translators for over 50 years. I work with Janet Turner from Modesto. We lived in a village in the mountains of Oaxaca in Mexico for 20 or so years, and we still get out there, but I haven't actually been out there for over 8 years, so I'm hoping to get out there in June of this year. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening out in our village, but I'm working mostly in Tucson. We finished translating the New Testament about 10 years ago, and I'm currently working on grammar of the language and dictionary, and that seems like it's going for the rest of my life. I don't know. I mean, a dictionary you never come to the end to, but I'm trying to. But anyway, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I'm Marie Burgess, and I'm married to Don Burgess. And Don has been doing Bible translation for 50 years. Yeah, long time projects. And we've been married for 31 years. And currently we've finished the New Testament and a lot of Old Testament materials. And they've been put on Mega Voice players that a lot of you have purchased, and we're in the process of distributing those.
Thanks. The leaders got together after last Thursday for a little leaders meeting, and we came up with some questions, and you don't have to answer all of them, but some of them might resonate with you. And we actually didn't say this, but I said this actually to start, because I always like to start on a positive note. We actually started with, what is the hardest part about mission work? I didn't want to start that way. So I started with, what is the greatest joy for you in your ministry? That's the first question. I'll read all the questions, then you guys kind of decide what you want to answer. We also asked, what is the hardest part about mission work? What refreshes you as missionaries? We could be part of helping to refresh you, like Christine shared. That's part of our job as a sending church. How do we help you get refreshed when the mission field is worn you out? How do you know what God is calling you to do in your life? That was a question from some of moms, because we get kind of called out of our work life and into child life, and how do you know where you're supposed to go? Ever wonder if what you do is valuable? And if you are married, how have you partnered with your husband in ministry? So those are kind of our six questions. We know you can't answer all of them. But Christine does. No, you can't. Well, it would be hard, unless you're very fast. And from what I usually know about missionary women, some of us are not as outgoing as others, and some of us are very verbose, so we have a contrast here. So any of those questions resonate with you, Christine?
All of them.
Okay.
You start then. And I gave them to you on your paper, so you can.
I try to be fast, and actually, would you hold this?
Oh, yes.
I was looking at them, and Judy said, don't over-prepare.
So she did.
I did not. I think though we were in the field for 32 years, a lot of my time, my mindset is always my children and the home, okay? So I want to read a scripture for you, that part of the questions that you can figure out which one. Mm-hmm. This is one of my favorite words. And she said that you have a favorite woman in your life. I don't, but I do have one from the book of Isaiah 43, verse 4. Seeing you are precious and honor in my sight, and because I love you. Mm. So often I thought, you know, do ministry, you can work and work and work. But that's one of the verses that I precious the most, that every time I thought of myself, God said that you are honored and precious in my sight because I love you. And I can train, I can ration you, I can ration the nation for you. I will train men for you. It's the most powerful thing for you and I. Doesn't matter you clean or you change the diaper, you save three people to life. I think if we know, and I also want to give an example was when I was in the field, there was no water, just like what the picture you see. I washed my diaper in the river. Paul had to come get them back. They're too heavy for me. I have a 3-month-old baby and a girl, 4 years and 2.5 or something. I have 3 kids under 4 years, so I did a lot of modeling, diaper and things. So I was very upset. I said, God, if you ask me to do this, what can I do in the city? I had water. I will have clean water. I will have food. I have fridge. There was no light. We were using candlelight at night. I was teaching the neighbor's kids with their homeschool because I was a school teacher before. So I was complaining to God one day while I was cooking over the gas stove. And God reminded me that how he asked Simon Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you truly love me more than this, the first question? I think that this could be referring to the fishing and the living, or referring to the disciple, men and work, okay? And Peter said, you know I love you. And Jesus said, you take my, first one is, feed my sheep, I think, feed my lamb, the first one. And then the second time he asked again, Simon Peter said, truly you know I love you. And then he said, care for my lamb, for my sheep. First one is the lamb, second the sheep. And then the third one he asked again, and Peter said, truly you know I love you. And Jesus said, you take care of my sheep. And I look around, I realized that the sheep and the lamb was not the village people, not my language work, not the anthropological study, not trying to give the gospel. It was my 3 little kids and my Paul. And I was so confident knowing that that was the one that at that season of my life, even though I was visiting the women in the afternoon, trying to learn the language, struggling with speaking it, where Paul was really 3 miles ahead of me in talking, or I was still trying to learn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But that was very valuable for me because God directly talked to me saying that the sheep and the lamb was this 3 little ones. And then later on, if you go on to the same chapter in John, he said, for you, Simon Peter, follow me. I think that was the job that God asked me. You follow me. I think to you too. Though we may be working hard, we may be serving, we may be nursing, we may be evangelizing, but Jesus said, follow me. That was the first one. And then later on, in the end of the chapter, Peter said, how about the disciple you love? If what happened to him and Jesus, it had nothing to do with you, but your job is to follow me. That had been very powerful for me. Mm. That God said, you follow me. That's your job.
That's great. Thank you.
That's great.
So just pick. You can pick whatever you want, Senya.
Let's see. Well, just piggybacking off what Christine said, I think that's really awesome because I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of still figuring all that out. So I'm like, wow, that's great that she has. That's very inspiring, actually, because I'm not sure if we'll be able to have kids or if God leads us to, you know, have adopt or foster care. Not sure. And so I'm going through an identity crisis right now, trying to figure out what are the lambs that God has given to me, that students. But for how long and you know, to what extent is it hard for our marriage? Scott's an engineer, and so he works kind of regular hours, but he volunteers with me on the side, which is great. But last Saturday, we were making this pancake breakfast for the MIT prospective freshmen were coming in town, so like 200 people here for this breakfast. We had a lot of volunteers, but I realized like 1 o'clock, I looked over and we had gotten there at 7:45, and I was like, I think he's like catatonic right now. I think he's, yeah, he has his own job. He has his own, like, he's trying to make his own social connections and ministry connections, and then he comes with me to things and is such a servant-hearted guy. But so yeah, what is God calling me to do, how to care, who to care for and how to care for them? I'm definitely still in process, and it's not, hasn't been easy because of my mentor in Boston. Always, she knows me really well. She's been sort of an informal mentor at church for about the last 12 years. I chose this church because it had older people who could pour into me, because I was going to different churches that were awesome, but it was hard to figure out how to make connections with mentor types. And all the students are so transient, or in and out every 4 years, that so I found her, she found me, or God put us together, and she knows me really well, and she kind of was teasing me, saying, yeah, Senya's always like, I've been single so long, and it's hard for you to change my patterns. And but I was like, oh, do I complain about it that much? Because I am so thankful to be married, but it has been a transition to think, how do I adjust to new priorities in life? So all that to say is that was inspiring to hear from Christine. I, like,
get to this hair.
The wisdom. I always enjoy coming here too, because I enjoy the wisdom from all the missionaries. It's like a community. I've realized, like, I think this is like the 6th or 7th time we've all been together every 2 years. So it's kind of a fun, just, you guys are all encouraging to me too. Just some vignettes, I guess, about the other questions. Greatest joy in ministry. I think some days I come home from a life group that I help lead at on campus, and I just feel so charged up. I've seen, like, women, especially, I think, women who are not sure who Jesus is, start to even tentatively pray and say, like, well, Alana, this one friend of mine who's a freshman, we asked for volunteers to pray, you know, and usually it's me or the other two leaders. But Alana said, I'll pray. And she just said, dear God, hope we all become better people through this study. Amen. Yeah. You know, just something really simple. And I thought, she's connecting with God. At the beginning of the year, she just didn't really know much about him, and I got to share the gospel with her, and she's still in processing it all. But she's been faithful to our life group. So, and working with the leaders themselves, just seeing growth in them. I think something that's hard about mission work is you realize you just multiply your own dysfunctions if you don't address them, because you basically are helping people be like you, and you're like, oh gosh, this is really, really awful. And so just even realizing I do get along well with the MIT students. I was an engineer at Stanford. Kind of can relate to them, but as I've been teaching them about not just knowing scripture passages and biblical truth, but emotionally connecting with God and, you know, bringing your feelings to God, I've realized, you know, just it reflects back to me that I'm not, that it's not that easy for me to make emotional connections. Even being married now, I'm realizing I can talk to people and easily relate to people, but emotionally connecting and bonding is a different thing. And so even the privilege of getting to challenge students on that, but then being convicted myself of the growth I need. I think what also is hard, it kind of tied in with the other question, ever wonder what you think what you do is valuable. I think just, I'm a closure kind of person. I like to see results. And with ministry, it's just, the hard thing is you can see God doing something, but you sort of question, like, what is really the fruit that's going to remain? And you wonder, like, just because this went well, was that a valuable thing to do with my time or my life? Or if it didn't go well, yes, I can hold on to eternal perspective, but as a human being, I do like to have feedback that I'm becoming an expert and growing in responsibility and mastery of a skill or a trade. So I think that I'm always asking, who am I and what am I doing? And just one other quick thing about what refreshes you, and Judy knows that. I love reading books, and I love theology books. I discovered, I went to seminary I finished 4 years ago, and that's not for everybody to go to seminary, because some people call it a cemetery for your faith, because it really, like, you over-intellectualize it, and, you know, but I think for me, I realized I actually am kind of a learner type, and instead of, like, killing my faith, it actually really reinvigorated it. So I'm trying to make time to read books, and, like, I read a Tim Keller book on marriage recently, and he referred to a couple other books by other theologians, and so I bought those, and just kind of, the more you read, the more kind of sticks to your mind, and there are more paradigms to kind of, I find that very invigorating. So,
well, I think many of these questions were answered by what I talked about, what inspires me,
what keeps me going. You can see how exciting it is to work with these women. But I was just thinking back to the call. You know, we always hear about that call. And I remember, you know, my husband was called. I married him. And I just ran behind him. And he, you know, held onto his shirt tails. And I used to feel really guilty because I'd think, we were living in Mexico at that point. We were working. And I'd think, God, I don't feel called to Mexico. In fact, I don't like these people very well. And where is my calling? Where is my calling? And, you know, and I just kept plodding along. And finally, after a few years of ministry and down the road, you know, because I started out on the field in 1969, so I have a few years behind me. And God one day said, you know who your calling is? Have you figured it out? And I thought, it's women. It's not a country. Mm-hmm. It's women. Everywhere I have gone from the time I started my life in Christ, my ministry has involved working with women. I mean, even my career as a nurse, I worked postpartum. I never had a man deliver a baby. And so my work has always been with women. And so God said, that's your calling. And then he gave me a verse, and that's from Ephesians 2:10. This is my life verse. For you are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time. And I think that is so perfect for our lives. We don't have to worry about too far down the road, because God has today for us, and he has planned today for us. And if we walk with him daily, he will show us good works to do. And whatever, and we're so uniquely made, each one of us. You know, we are made, and God has created us particularly for good works that he has created for us already. So all we have to do is just follow him each day. And if that means that you're a missionary in the Silicon Valley, you know, any heart with Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. So, you know, whatever you're doing, you know I get to sit up here in front and say I'm kind of special, but really, we're all part of the body of Christ, and God has good works for us. So I think that's what I really come away with after 50 years on the field.
Wow. Okay. Wow, it's hard to know where to begin. I was thinking, you mentioned, what was your favorite woman in scripture, and I hadn't thought about it before, but this morning I was thinking about Esther, and it reminded me of, oh, when I was at camp at Mount Hermon, probably when I was a kid, we had a counselor, and I remember one night before bed she was telling us the whole story of Esther, and that verse really struck me, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Back in those days, we used King James. But anyway, I somehow that's all through my life. I've always been concerned about being in the right place at the right time, where the Lord wanted me to be, and hopefully doing what he wanted me to be doing. About being called. When I was in high school, I was interested in being a gym teacher, but that's that's neither here nor there. But I was interested in languages. I started with Latin and then Spanish and French. My aunt got me a Latin book before I started high school, the summer before, and we went through it. And so I was always ahead of the class. And so I think that gave me just that edge that made me interested in languages. And then I went to Whitworth College and majored in Spanish and minored in French and New Testament Greek. And by that time, I was pretty sure that the Lord wanted me to be with Wycliffe translators. I had done vocational reports at the end of high school and the beginning of college, and I think both times I wrote about Wycliffe just because it sounded kind of exotic and interesting, and I was convinced that that's really what I wanted to do. And I wouldn't change that choice for anything. I've had a wonderful life and lived in so many different worlds. I would say one of the hard parts of when I first went to Mexico and lived in the village, the girl I worked with, Jan, was a nurse, and she did all kinds of medical work in the village. By the time we were through actually living there, she was treating about 100 cases a day, and so our house was like Grand Central Station. And I think one of the hardest things for me was not having any privacy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'd go out and visit in somebody else's house and do house calls just to get a little break and have them entertain us instead of us entertaining them. And my favorite thing was like sitting around the fire shelling corn for the pigs. Anyway, I think that sounds like the prodigal son,
yes,
but
it does.
Anyway. Anyway. One of the greatest joys now is when I'm in Mexico, I live in a household of about 10, and Jan and I are like the great-grandmothers of the family. And I think the exciting thing to me is to see the great-grandchildren following the Lord, and one of them at least is anxious to become a missionary, and that's pretty exciting to me. For refreshing, maybe music does a lot of refreshing for me. I love to sing. I play the flute and piano, and I've just taken up the ukulele, which is a whole other story. But anyway, I'm living in a retirement community now in Sun City, Arizona. I inherited my mom's house. I took care of her for several years before she died, and then kind of stayed with the house. And living in a retirement community, it's really tempting to retire. I mean, I've been 50 years, and I'm 73, and you know, most people are retired by now, but I'm in better shape physically than I've ever been, and I'm playing a lot of tennis. That's another thing that really refreshes me, I think. It gets you can take out your frustrations on that old tennis ball anyway and get the kinks out. It's a wonderful life there too, and I think of it too as kind of a mission field too. So I'm involved in a lot of different things there, I'm also able to make trips back to Mexico, and it's wonderful to live in all these different worlds.
Anyway, you
can have fun.
Go for it.
Just read this for me, Priscilla.
No.
Oh goodness, I'm not a public speaker. My husband's the public speaker. let's see. Well, I do have a favorite verse. I have Psalms 73:28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. So actually, this is very convicting to me this morning, because since I don't like to speak, I actually had to follow this. So God has been amazingly faithful in my life. And we live in a part of Mexico that's very difficult to live in. And we live with a very primitive group of people. So I can identify with Christine, because washing clothes on rocks and hauling water from the creek is not very easy, and boiling, and all of the medical care that we did over many years, which I actually learned from her partner. Many, many things. I actually went
to our village.
Yeah, I went to Priscilla's village and learned village nursing with Jan. So she was very helpful to me. And it was treating a whole lot of people. I had about actually a whole lot less patients than Jan did. I had about 300 or so that I took care of on a regular basis. There was no medical care at all in the area. But one of the joys that was there is I also started a friendship with women, and I started a quilting with them. And that was really fun, lots and lots of fun, and it continues to be so. We still are doing quilting with them. And let's see, as far as difficulties, my biggest one over the years is sleeping. So,
tell them what it's like right now to sleep.
Oh, one place that we lived in actually for 9 years, we had to occasionally sleep on the floor because of machine gun fire. So it's really, and it's still very much, we're right in the middle of the drug wars. And we're trying to do distribution of the Bible. We have those players, and we're trying to do that in the middle of all that. Let's see.
You mean the most difficult thing in your life is that the machine gun fire is flying around while you're trying to, like, minister
sleep.
In Mexico?
While we're trying to sleep.
While you're trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So does that frighten you?
Yeah, this is why this is my verse right here. But as for me, it is good to be near God. No, it is very frightening. And Don has actually started another translation, so we're going to be there for a while longer.
You don't get to retire.
No retirement for him. He says no, he doesn't want to do that.
Is it another dialect?
Yes, it's another dialect of Tarahumara. Yeah. Let's see. Actually, Don and I don't distinguish missionaries as any different from other people. So PBC kind of has that policy, too. Each one of you are missionaries mm-hmm. as well as we are, and I like that. I think I covered it all.
Marie, did you?
Did I skip something?
No. Do you ever wonder if you're valuable, Marie?
I think I'm replaceable.
I don't think so.
No, each one of us are replaceable, but anyhow, it's really, actually, I know that sounds really weird. It's really exciting being in Mexico, and it's very terrifying, too,
Yeah. So
in this particular area. But it's absolutely amazing, because we see God every day, practically, just move in incredible ways, and getting people the scriptures that are from far, far away places. He always shows up, so...
Thank you. I know you don't like to talk. Thank you.
I just want to say something about where Marie is with the Tarahumara Indians there. See, what has happened is the Colombia cartel has really moved to this northern part of Mexico. So there is a drug war going on, and she's not talking about a little tiny bit of gunfire. She has to live where... These people are vicious that are controlling the drugs and trying to get them across to the U.S. And they murder whole families. I mean, they don't mess with just Don. If they're going to get rid of him, they're going to get rid of Don and Marie. So, you know, it's really a scary thing.
Yes, it is. Well, I think it's almost 11. I wanted to pray for you before you left and thank you for coming and sharing. It was fun to hear your dialogue about encouraging one another with just being together. Thank you, Sinya and Christine. And do you have anybody here have a giant question that's just, it's pressing on them and they have to know the answer to? Because we have a banquet coming up and we would love you to come and sit around the tables and talk to the missionaries that are in town as with the families, and we're going to have a family-style dinner so you can get to know them a little bit more. I put these booklets on your table so that you know that they're there. We put all of our missionaries in here for this missions conference so that all their contact information and generally the story of their ministry is in here. So now that you know some of these people face-to-face, you can find them in the booklet. And
start to be supporters, or prayer supporters at least. And I'm sure that there's some typos and stuff in here because this was my admin and me, and both of us leave typos places, I've noticed. But we worked hard on it. And I think, Senya, didn't you bring us a gift or something? We like presents, we're women. Of course. Here you go. See how far that they get. I was actually thinking, Charlene, since your ministry is women and my ministry is definitely women too, I'd love you to pray for these women since you're with us, and I'll give you the microphone.
Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how we are so grateful for you and what you mean to us, Lord, and what you have done for all of us. And we thank you, God, that you love us so much, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, unique, created in God's image, Lord. And we thank you. What incredible love you have for us. And we just pray for each one here, including the what we call professional missionaries, with all the other gals here who are missionaries, Lord. And I just pray that you would work in our families and the people that are dear to us and help us with living life and the challenges of life. Give us a real sense of your presence in our lives, Lord, that you love us beyond anything we can imagine and you count the hairs on our head. Lord, what a personal God you are, and so great, Lord. And you can change rivers and the minds of kings, and you do all those things for your children. And we thank you, Lord, for that and the hope we have of eternity, Lord. Yes, our bodies are getting old every day. They get a little bit older, but Lord God, we are eternal creatures when we know you, and we have eternal life, and we're just beginning. And we thank you for all you're teaching us and all of your mercy and goodness to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.